Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
I have a very special secret. I'm the only one who knows about tiny people living in our walls called the Littles.
We are the Littles. Tails that squiggle to and fro.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watched The Littles with Cass Page. Cass uses she, her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm here if you need to talk. It's very strange to sit down and record a comedy podcast about bad cartoons from 40 years ago in the middle of all this stuff. Like, we just sat down and like talked about like being locked inside of our houses for the last week and a half for 20 minutes. And then now it's like, hey, let's transition to this.
It gives you something else. Like, my housemate and I the other day, we just had a wine night and it was lovely. But for about 20 minutes, we both forgot about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking, we're like, blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about inaccessibility of academia to the people who really need it. So like...
Oh, so you and your housemate have like very broad conversations about the world and important things, it sounds like.
Yeah. So that was our conversation where we were talking about like people in universities who are doing all this research. They don't make their research accessible, which means nothing changes. And it's a really big issue. And it's all like elitist and snobby and all that. But we've also started playing this game where whenever we see a man on TV or in social media, we go, oh, remember men? So it's... It varies.
Yeah. You should read Woman World. I don't remember who wrote it, but it's a very funny series of comics about like a world where all of the men have died out and it's just like a world inhabited by women that know they can't reproduce. And they're like, well, this is the last generation. We're just going to chill, I guess. And it's very like lighthearted and fun, actually. It's good. I liked it.
That's really nice. That sounds like a calming read.
Yeah, I think that on the podcast, I'm trying not to have extensive conversations about all of this because it's like, well, maybe this episode will go out in 2 weeks and all of this will be over, which isn't going to happen, obviously.
Everything's changing so quickly.
Yeah.
Like we've had similar things at Sans Pants where we'll record something and then we'll be like, oh, we'll see if this, you know, ages well over the next week. And then it'll just, you know, we were talking about one of the podcasts, George, he's a comedian, and he was talking about how the Sydney Comedy Festival was still open and it got cancelled the next day.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The Sydney Comedy Festival is still open, gone, not happening.
Yep.
Well, we should talk about something a little bit more lighthearted, like The Littles from 1983, a Saturday morning cartoon.
I'd like to just...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I just want to clarify, it's not that much more lighthearted.
Oh, that's true.
some of the episodes.
Yeah, a lot of the episodes are pretty wild. Like, I think that we watched a lot of different episodes because I watched like 3 or 4, but they were all kind of randomized. Like, this show tackles some really heavy subjects in some very heavy-handed ways.
Yeah, they're so heavy. Like, you recommended that I watch Prescription for Disaster, the anti-drug message.
Oh, it's so good.
And because I'd watched a few of the other ones where they, you know, the message was sort of, as a plot point, it'll be like, okay, so the message is don't steal or whatever. So we're going to have him steal something and it not work out for him. So the message is don't steal. And the prescription for disaster starts and they're like, oh, who's this woman? And then the little's like, she's on drugs. She's neglecting her child. Right off the bat, straight away. They're like, this woman is on drugs. It's the drugs that are making her sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And that episode, to get to the basic concept of the show, just so that people that haven't watched this know what we're talking about. And by the way, watch The Littles. It's on YouTube. It's fucking nutso butso. It's little people that have crazy ears and buck teeth and tails that live in the walls. And the government is trying to track them down. And they just like chill and go on crazy adventures and teach people about the drug epidemic. It's great. It's fun times. That episode, I don't know how much of it you watched because you said that you didn't finish it. Did you get to like the Littles induced fever dream?
I got to the part where the person on drugs dropped a capsule and it went all over the Littles pies.
Okay, okay.
And then the pilot Little got really on drugs and then they figured it out. Dinky Little, that's the one.
That's right.
But he keeps confirming he's a pilot and then doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
That's his shtick, being bad at his job.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that episode first then, and then we'll talk about the other ones that we watched. I've watched a lot of like cartoon drug PSAs on this podcast, and that one was, I mean, one of my favorites. It's hard to say it's my favorite because there was one where like it was Kermit and the Ninja Turtles and Alvin and the Chipmunks and Alf and Garfield all like giving this kid a crazy acid trip so that he doesn't do drugs again. There was one where Rambo helped a kid get off drugs.
Wow.
The Littles have a very intense way of going about it. Basically, the girl's mom, who they're like hanging out with this little girl or like watching her creepily from the walls, I guess. And they see that this girl's mom is addicted to like prescription medication, just sort of generically. They don't really tell us what it does aside from make you hallucinate purple goblins and get really angry at your child.
Yeah, they're like, it makes her neglect her child and lash out at her child. And oh my gosh, there is the most, maybe I'm skipping ahead a few minutes, but there's the most amazing line. There's a section where the Littles are talking about it and they're like, wow, like Angela's getting so neglected. Wow. Tom Little, what do you think we would do if our mother was neglecting us? Oh, well, Lucy God. Little, I think all we could do was tell her how we felt.
Yeah. Well, and that's not really what Angela decides to do, because Angela decides that she needs to go take her mom's prescription drugs instead. She's like, well, if my mom's going to like not care about me, then maybe I should go take her drugs and maybe that'll make me feel better, or maybe I'll just die. Ooh. That might be a little bit too extreme. That might not be what she says, but in my mind, that's what she is going for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I did not get to that part. That is.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so to convince Angela not to take the drugs because they can't reveal themselves to the humans or else they'll be experimented on, I guess, is the whole premise of the show.
Yeah.
They instead go to Angela's mom, who's having like a crazy drug-fueled trip and like passed out on her bed and is not supervising her child. They wake her up and they dress themselves up like little pill bottles and they like dance around and they're like, you're high on drugs. You need to stop taking the drugs or else they're gonna kill you. Oh. And she's like, no, this isn't real. And they're like, it's very real. Stop taking the drugs. Go check on your daughter. And they literally say to her, they're like, this is a drug-induced fever dream or something to that effect. And I was like, wow, the Littles are very intense little creatures. They scare me.
They somehow know so much about everything, despite having little boats made out of Dixie cup sticks and a bit of cardboard.
Yeah, their society is frighteningly advanced and and structured,
yeah,
and put
it's
together.
It's really cute.
Yeah, it's true.
Little gavel made out of the end of a pencil. Loved the little gavel made out of the end of a pencil.
So we definitely both watched the first episode, so let's talk about that a little bit. So like we said, little creatures, they're kind of humanoid, I guess, but they're kind of rat-like, maybe. They have like little tails, sharp ears, two teeth in the front that they used to gnaw on things. And they live in the walls of the house of the big family, which when they said that, I was sent. That was absurd.
Oh, I think the guy who wants to experiment on them Hang on, is it ever specifically said he wants to experiment on them? Because I know Henry Big, the child that they've befriended, is like, no, I can't let anyone catch you because then they'll do experiments and you'll be gone forever. And I assume that's a childlike assumption. I don't know what the evil man is planning to do with them specifically.
Yeah, I mean, it's so up in the air. The doctor has a crazy name. I don't remember what it was, but it's something very on the nose, like Dr. Hunter. It is Dr. Hunter. Yeah. Okay, great. So Dr. Hunter wants to find the Littles, but he doesn't really know anything about them. Like, he has suspicions that there are little men that live in the walls of people's homes, but he's never seen them before. He has no proof that they exist, and he has, like, a CIA surveillance van. Like, he's got, like, government funding, like an armored truck, a satellite, like all this technology, and he can just, like, barge into people's homes. For what reason? Like, is he just like a crazy man, or is this like government funded?
He must have some government funding, or he's got some sort of Tommy Wiseau level mysterious past that we are never to be privy to.
That's true. That's true. Like, parents died getting hit by a UPS truck or something, and he has unlimited funds forever to hunt little men that he's never seen before.
And people just let him do it because, you know, he's had a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really seem like all that evil. Like, his whole thing is that he just wants to find the Littles. Maybe it's like a Gargamel situation, like from the Smurfs, where he just wants to eat them.
Maybe.
Or maybe he just doesn't want people to think he's crazy anymore. But he doesn't really do anything all that evil. He's just trying to find little rodents hiding in people's walls. Like,
yeah, he does describe them as like elf-like creatures as well. They do look a bit like elves. Like, if an elf and a rat had a baby...
Yeah, a keyboard elf fucked a rat, and that's what we got.
And honestly, it turned out for the best in terms of what that could have looked like.
It's true. They're a little cute. Like, it took me a while to realize that they weren't just, like, humans that were shrunk down borrower style. Like, they are a subspecies. Yeah. They are something else.
Yeah, they're definitely not that, which is why it's weird that Henry has a crush on one of them.
Yeah, that's strange. That's very strange. But whatever, he's a kid.
Wait,
you never had a crush on, like, your turtle or something as a kid? Oh, no. Was it only me? I'm the only one. Okay, that makes sense. That's fine. No, it's fine. It's fine. I just assume that everything that I've ever thought is a universal experience. It's okay.
It's for everyone.
Oh, my God. So I turned on this show just, like, on a whim, because usually I've got a long list of, like, 200 cartoons that I'm like, what are we going to watch this week? I don't know. I'll just put on something, you know. And I turned on this show, and immediately the first thing that you see on screen is maybe the most jarring, unsettling thing I've ever seen in my life. The theme song to the show, do you remember this?
Okay, regarding the theme, the thing that threw me is the insane cold open, where they do that weird pan around the child, yes, which looks super insane in a cartoon form, but it's like, hello, I have a big secret.
Yeah.
I am the only person who knows about the children living in my wall.
Right, exactly.
And then the Cooked theme song starts.
Right. Yeah. It's a 10-year-old kid staring at the camera, moving his head in, like, rotoscope for anybody that knows anything about animation. They just, like, recorded a live-action kid going, like, turning to look at the camera, and they animated over it. And so it looks super creepy and jarring. I don't know if they use CGI. Like, this is 1983, so possibly... But yeah, it is really terrifying how the first thing you see in the show is this kid being like, hi, I have a secret. There are little men that live in my walls, and I'm the only one that knows about them. Here they are. And then they all run out of the vent, and they're like, we're the Littles. Ha ha. Like, it's all so, like, real sweet and funny and, like, poppy sort of, but terrifying nonetheless. Like,
oh, one of the first things I thought about this show, like, my overall impression is, wow, they really throw you in the deep end.
Yeah, yeah, first episode. I mean, that's the way that it was in the 80s. You know, kids never knew about the secret origins until episode 9 or 10 when they finally revealed what's going on.
They're kids. They don't know what's happening. You got to give them time.
I wouldn't doubt that the show has some sort of a secret origins episode, because the Littles are, like, not only in this kid's walls, they're an entire society.
Yeah, and they're all throughout this one town.
Yeah, it's true. Throughout that one town, and I would assume the world. Like, they have interconnected little pathways underneath the houses that connect each house to each other. And I'm surprised that none of them have ever, like, been caught by an exterminator or something.
Yeah, that seems like a really big issue for them. And Mr. Hunter, the Gargamel of this situation.
Yeah.
In his little bit of exposition, he's like, I reckon that they live in this small town. And he's so specific, and it's so strange. And then in later episodes, they find the old Littles like village. Mm-hmm. Did you see that episode?
No, I didn't see that one.
They find like the ancient town of the Littles. Outside and it's like an external structure.
In that town or outside the city?
It's not in the town. It is a bit outside the city, but it is found by Henry's parents. Okay. And there's a great line from Henry that says, "I love my parents, but if they threaten your guy's life, I just don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive them." So weird. He just he straight up just says that.
Well, that's the thing is that Henry is way too connected to these guys, and he's the only one that's ever heard of them. And like all the other times, they're like, "This little girl's about to do drugs, but we can't reveal ourselves to her or else." Like, in what situation did they reveal themselves to Henry? Was he tied to a chair by the Littles and tortured for information until they realized that they could trust him? Like, how did this bond form? I need an origin story.
I know they never explain it. All they do to explain it is to sort of say, "Well, Lucy Little and Tom Little are friends with Henry, and Henry, like in the first episode, the rest of the Littles accept that Henry is a friend, but they're still terrified of other Bigs." Oh my god! And the lesson of episode one is so weird. They say the most important part of true friendship is loyalty. Which is certainly an idea. I always think that if you want someone to be loyal to you, you should be a good person. And, you know, the best way I've ever heard relationships described, like any kind of relationship, is having mutual trust in the other person to offer everything and only ever take what you need, which I think is really, I think it's a nice way of saying it because it's that whole thing of like loving someone so much or caring about someone so much that you can offer as much as you think is necessary, but you trust the other person enough because you know each other to only ever take what they need at that time. And that really goes against this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing that I noticed as I watched more and more of it, because I watched probably 3 to 5 episodes, and some of them I was only half watching, but you pick up bits and pieces, is it's very like Reagan's America, very conservative, like very, very conservative. There was an episode later on where there's a big rainstorm in town and there are rats that come in. Did you watch that one?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So that episode, it concerned me.
Yeah.
The whole thing was that there's a storm in the town and there's a bunch of floods. And so rats are coming into all of the houses. They're going into like the Littles' encampments and stealing all their food and attacking them and stuff. The main family, the Littles, go to like the Little Council or the Little Defense Center or whatever the fuck it's called. Like they have a whole system. They have like a courtroom, a mail system, a newspaper printing press. They have it all. It's amazing.
Yeah.
They go to like the main council and they're like, "We have to tell you about this. Like all of these rats are coming in from somewhere else. And they're stealing all of our food and they're destroying our houses and they're hurting us and stuff." And the council is like, "Well, it hasn't happened to us yet, so we won't pass anything about it." And I'm like,
oh gosh,
this is such thinly veiled like anti-immigration shit. Like what the fuck is it's either that or they're talking about like the environment and the council doesn't see that it's a problem, so they're not going to do anything about it. But it's like, this is concerning to me that you're creating like this other thing that's like, these are like soulless creatures that are going to come in and steal your stuff and destroy your house, and the government's not going to do anything about it, so you have to go fight them on your own. And I'm like, oh no, this is 1983. Okay. I don't like this.
The morale.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's something I noticed too, the morality of this show, it makes more sense that you're like, it's very Reagan era 1983, because the morality is just a bit odd. Like the 3 episodes I watched to the end, the first episode was, if you want to be a true friend, you have to be loyal. The next episode, which was the one with the little town, basically the conflict was Henry's parents found a little statue of one of the ancient Littles and they were like, oh, why does a statue have a tail and why is it so small? So it gets put in a museum, and then Henry's like, hey, if that's like, because it has some inscription on it, and the Littles are like, hey, if we find out what the inscription says, we can learn more about like our people or whatever. Henry's like, well, I'll go to the museum and I'll steal it. And they're like, oh my God, you can't steal. And he's like, but no, that'll help you guys, because the Gargamel Mr. Hunter is also going to like try and steal the thing.
Yeah. Also, didn't everybody else steal their ancient artifact?
Yeah.
Like the humans came and stole their stuff, and now somebody wants to go and reclaim it for the people who it rightfully belongs to. And they're like, better not. Better leave it to white Americans to keep that.
They specifically say stealing is against the law.
Okay.
So that's, it's a lot of legal-based morality.
Uh-huh.
But Henry goes to steal the, so the Littles go in to the museum, and all they do is they take a writing, they write down what the inscription is so that they can go back and translate it themselves.
Right.
Dr. Hunter comes in and steals the statue, and then he replaces it with a fake, and then Henry comes in and steals the fake statue. So Henry ends up going back to them and saying, hey, like, I've got the statue, here it is. And like the leader of the town's like, what are you doing? I told you not to steal. Stealing is so wrong. And he's like, but it's for a really good reason. And they're like, no, there's never a good reason to steal. Plus, you stole a fake because the other one got stolen anyway. So they just like make a whole thing about how stealing won't get you where they want. And then Henry tries to help, and they're like, you've helped enough. And they're so rude to him. And then at the end, eventually it all works out, all comes together. And he's like, wow, I'm really sorry for stealing, guys. And they're like, he's like, I hope you can forgive me. And they're like, it's okay, but remember, it's never right to steal. The only thing you can steal is a kiss. And then Lucy Little gives him a little kiss.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, it really was a different time, wasn't it?
Well, what? Do you not think that in 2020 it's okay for a boy to kiss a little rat girl? I mean, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know.
Actually, the little rat girl kissed the boy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So that's a little...
Look, having the moral of a story end with the only thing it's okay to steal is a kiss was very much like, wow, this was made before I was born.
Yeah.
Whew. But yeah, so the message was like super pro-law, very anti stealing. But, you know, if you look at it from a bigger perspective, they think that if the Dr. Hunter guy gets a hold of this stuff,
right,
then he'll be able to like experiment on them, capture them, control them. Like it's protection of their people. So they said that not stealing and keeping that moral high ground was more important than potentially preventing a genocide.
Well, okay. And here's the thing that's very important about this. If those motherfuckers aren't stealing, how are they going to eat? Like, are the Littles cultivating crops? Because it was my assumption that they were stealing food from the Bigs and that Henry was helping them.
Surely.
And there is, in fact, an episode where they're completely, like, broken down. All of their food is being destroyed by the rat menace or whatever. And Henry brings them a bunch of food. And they're like, oh, thanks, Henry. We're so glad to have you. So it's like, well, how do you usually get food? If you don't steal it from them, you certainly steal it from the grocery store. Because, like, I've seen Ratatouille. Like, there's not a way for a little mouse creature to get food legally cultivated by humans.
Oh, you're so right. Yeah, their morality, wild.
Yeah. Also,
changing
though,
it on a whim.
Ratatouille, better movie if it stars instead of a mouse, a little instead. I would have loved that. Because then it's not even like everybody finds out about the rat and they're like, what, rats can cook? It's like they find out about the little and they're like, this is gonna rock human existence. Like, we didn't know about this. It's such a bigger concept.
We change everything. Did you see the episode where Henry was trying to join a gang?
No, I did not. Tell me all about it. This sounds great.
I think it was called the Hot Wheels or the Flaming Wheels or the Flame Bikes or something. So there was a three-man biker gang, like push bike.
Of adults
and Henry's
or children?
Oh, no, of Henry's classmates.
Okay,
and
great.
He was like, wow, I so want to be in this gang. And one of the guys is like friendly with Henry, and one of the other guys in the gang is really anti-Henry, and the other guy makes three. So the friendly guy's like, oh, yeah, if you want to like join our group, you just got to like go down this very big hill with no brakes on your bike, and then our leader will choose the next challenge if you can pass that one. And Henry's like, okay. And Tom and Lucy Little apparently go to a school that is located in the air vents of Henry's school. So they overhear all of this. And Tom Little's like, oh, that sounds so cool. I want to go down that big drain pipe with no brakes. And Lucy Little's like, Tom, that's so dangerous. Why would you choose to do that? And he's like, psh, girls.
Also, though, this is important to mention because I didn't realize the pattern until you just pointed it out. All of the Little's businesses, like the courthouse, the bank, the school, all happen in the human equivalents. Like the Little bank is in the big bank and the Little school is in the Little school, which is incredible. They're like, got to go to school. It's going to take me 2.5 days to get there because I'm 4 inches tall.
Yeah, that's wild. Actually, oh no, in one of the episodes I watched, I think it was the bike gang one, mm-hmm. they established that they've got like a little rail cart roller coaster system that gets them from A to B really, really quickly.
Oh, that's right. And they have like a river with little boats and stuff in it too.
Yeah.
And a plane.
They totally have a plane, right? That's powered by rubber bands. It's very cute. I do like seeing all their little technology. The boat's made out of old cans. But with the gang... Mm-hmm. He manages to go down, I think, nearly to the bottom of the hill, and then he just crashes. Tom Little also crashes. So that sort of fails, and Henry Big is like, please let me into your gang. Please do something else. And the leader's like, fine, it's Friday the 13th, so if you can stay in that haunted house all night, you'll get in. And then the other guy's like, wow, that's pretty rough and scary. Like, that's pretty rough to do to Henry. And he's like, no, we're going to scare him.
Right.
The Littles find out about this. They try and warn Henry that they're about to try and scare him away from the haunted house. And by the time they sort of reach there and get to him, they're able, like the Littles like, you know what? Let's give these big kids a taste of their own medicine. And they just run around trying to scare all the kids. They warn Henry so that he's just not frightened at all.
Right.
And they make it so that the bullies end up being absolutely terrified. So stealing something back, not okay. Frightening a child to teach them a lesson, so fine. Oh my God, get the whole community involved.
I'm imagining, you know, the end sequence of Toy Story where like all the toys come to life and come after Sid. Sounds scary.
They don't reveal themselves. They are good, but they do really cute things. Like one of them gets inside of an old piano and starts jumping on the strings to make it look like the piano is playing itself.
That does sound really fun.
But then all the Littles have a redemption story because it turns out the old abandoned haunted house, which Henry does say, but that house is condemned. It's not safe to go inside.
Right.
You know how children speak? It starts falling apart. So the Littles end up saving all the bullies and like saving their lives. And they're like, wow, how did that happen? Because he makes them turn all the lights off so the Littles can do it in secret.
Mm-hmm.
So they all get saved. And then eventually Henry has to come home to his parents and say he wasn't at a sleepover and say, I'm very sorry for lying. I promise I won't do it again. And the mother's like, okay. And that's the lesson. Bully, wow. Bullies.
I mean,
oh, no.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I forgot. The real lesson is the next day at school, they're all like, wow, Henry, you're super brave and you're really kind and helpful.
Oh,
we want you to join our gang.
Oh, my God.
They offer him a gang jacket and he's like, no, you know what? I don't want to be a part of a gang that asks me to do silly things so I can join.
Okay.
That's the lesson. Don't join a gang.
Well, you know what? That's going for a different message than what I thought it was, because I thought for a minute that it was like, hey, if you're nice enough to your bullies and if you let them walk all over you, they'll want to be your friends and you should join because joining up is the way to go. Like, although don't join a gang is a very Reagan era America thing anyway. So
it's just all making
a lot
more
sense. Much better. Yeah. I mean, I think the great thing about the Littles is that it always brings every idea to its natural conclusion. Like, there's a lot of shows that I watch where I'm like, wow, I really wish they would have explored that a little bit more. This show explores everything to the fullest extent possible. They like put little rollerblades on a turtle. They put a note on his back and they just like push him through the sewers. And you're like, wow, this show is amazing.
Oh, I love in episode one where there's some sort of Littles issue. And oh, when they find out that the hunter's about and he's going to hunt Littles.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them sticks a pin into an electricity line, taps out Morse code. And then another Little somewhere else is like, gets the Morse code and then prints a tiny newspaper.
Yes, yes. I love the little newspaper. The little printing press is so cute.
And then at the end of the episode, they tell you, the viewer, how you can make your own little newspaper.
And they do that at the end of every episode. They're like, hey, here's how you can like make a little pin from home. You take a bottle cap, you write on it, you put it on your shirt. Then you put a piece from an egg carton inside. And like, it seems like the entire show is like, hey, poor kids whose parents don't have money to buy you toys, here's how you make your own toys. And you know what? I appreciate
That's
that.
Great.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Also, like, as a kid, like, those were the kinds of things that I really liked to do, because I used to try and use sticks and stuff to make fairy houses. Like, the idea of having, like, fairies, or I think, for whatever reason, kids are, like, little people.
Right.
But they're almost my size. They're, like, adults are too big to see them. It's something special for me, the child.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really love that most shows like G.I. Joe and stuff like that in the 80s, like, the entire episode would be about something completely different, and then in the end they'd have, like, a weird PSA that's like, hey kids, do whatever cops tell you to, or pay your taxes, or whatever. In this show, the entire episode's about paying your taxes, then at the end they're like, hey, here's how you make a stamp with a bunch of garbage you pulled out of the trash. Like, that's beautiful.
It's so good. The opposite is like, we've had a good time, but here's a law you should follow. It's like, here are laws you should follow. Oh, and here's how to have a good time. Like, quick. Oh my God. No, this is fun. Like, have fun.
Yeah. They said the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if I have anything else about this show, because there's so much going on here. Go ahead.
So much. There's one thing that I think one of my favorite things about the entire show are the parents' voices. They have the most calming voices I have ever heard in my entire life. I could listen to them speak forever. Anytime they came on screen and said words, I was like, I am safe. Their vocal register, and I don't think I've ever really noticed it with any other show I've ever watched ever in any format. Because, like, aside from some shows where they'll, like, have the parents speaking in, like, blah, 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 like, they'll have them speaking nonsense or whatever, but I've never heard them be tonally different. Like, it's like they went to a different section of voice acting school and were like, people who read out meditation videos, you can be the parents.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly a choice, but I've just never seen that one made, and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, the voice acting in the show is pretty good, because a lot of the time when you have especially kid actors, and all the little rodents are played by kids and stuff, they're really obnoxious. Like, they go for it and they're like, hey, I've got an idea. I think we should do this, and let's go here, and we got to get this kid off drugs. And you're like, oh no, these kids suck. But in this one, they all just sound like normal kids. They're not shrieking. They're sweet to listen to. The animation is pretty fun. I enjoyed the entire experience immensely, and I will watch more of it.
It's great. I would so recommend The Littles to anyone, if only for... Like, not even if only four. There are, like, the main selling points, I would say, are the insane level of, like, what's the opposite of subtext?
Text. Oh, propaganda. You're talking about propaganda.
Yes, propaganda. The propaganda is a great feature. The cold opening will get you hooked immediately. Every now and then the parents talking will calm you. Watching the littles do little things. I mean, anytime you're dealing with a smaller society, that's all you really want to see. You just want to see them use everyday things for little purposes. And then, right. Then the fun activity at the end. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I stopped smoking weed a few months ago because I'm allergic. I've talked about it on the podcast, whatever. kick back with, like, a few drinks or, like, a joint or whatever your vice is, and watch the drug PSA episode. Because, like, legitimately, dinky little... eats some drugged up pies, goes on, like, a crazy rampage, and almost gets baked into a fucking pie, like, in a huge furnace. Like, he almost dies because this is crazy shit's happening.
Wow.
And they go back to the house and they dress up like little pill bottles and they dance around and they're like, you're on a drug trip, you're going to die. Like, and it's just so much. It's really just top tier 1980s Saturday morning cartoons. It's great shit.
It is good.
That's all you gotta say.
I don't even know what else.
It is good. What was your favorite episode?
Ah, I reckon it was the one with the... I've forgotten what it's called. But it's the one where they find the little statue. And they're like, don't steal.
Okay.
And he's like, but in this situation, I think it would be really helpful. And I think it's the right thing to do. And they're like, it's against the law. You can't do it.
It's against the United States laws, the country in which we live. We love America. Because don't get us wrong, the Littles love America. There's a lot of episodes about how much they love America. And in the movie, they go to the Statue of Liberty, where more Littles live. And they do patriotic things, I can only assume. Because it's called, like... the littles, liberty and littles or something like that.
That's phenomenal. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. They just don't make shows like that anymore. They shouldn't.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't. Yeah, I really loved the Drug Trip episode. There was another one that I saw where they make like a little movie and then Dr. Hunter finds it. That episode was just wild that they just like recreate the Wizard of Oz and then this man like finds it. And the entire crux of the episode is that like the villain finds this little tape, the guy that's been trying to hunt them down for months or years or whatever it is, maybe decades.
Yeah.
And if he watches the film, then he'll just watch all of these things he's been trying to find his entire life, recreating the Wizard of Oz. And I'm like,
yeah,
please watch the film. Please. I would love to see this like public freak out where he's like, what is this? What's happening?
And he doesn't watch it?
No, he doesn't. He turns it on and it turns out that Dinky was just a really bad camera operator and everything's out of focus. And he's like, this is trash. And he throws it away. And all the littles are like, we did it. Good job, Dinky. You suck. And he's like, I did it on purpose. And they're like, no, you didn't. Shut the fuck up. And then they're very mean to Dinky. The littles are not nice people generally.
Dinky has yet to prove himself.
Oh, he made a plane. He's making inventions all the time. He flies a little plane. He saves the day almost every week,
it seems like. He makes the plane?
I thought so. I mean, he pilots it for sure.
Dinky does a lot of goofy stuff. Dinky is portrayed as an idiot and a coward, but he is the only one making new tech.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit sympathetic because he's hated by his entire family, and every time he opens his mouth, everybody's like, shut up, numbskull. But he's endearing. He's fun.
He is a fun character. Gosh, yeah, they use him as bait for the stealing episode. What part of the plot of that episode is they turn into zombies?
Okay.
I would definitely recommend watching it. It's my favorite of the ones I've seen.
Wait, is that it? What do you mean? How does that work?
The statue is magic and they turn into zombies when they hear its song.
That's so good.
They start walking straight away to where Dr. Hunter is because he has the statue.
I have to know how it works out because in general in the show, the first two seasons are about them being like, how do we stay in this house? How do we stay here undetected forever? We're going to live with Henry in this house forever. And then in season three, ratings were down. So they were like, we're going to go travel the world. And I'm like, how does that work? Like at the end of season two, or did they get like found out by Dr. Hunter and they escape? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I need to see how this ends. Because I can't imagine a show that puts that much care into its propaganda and having a very easy-to-follow storyline would do anything to disrupt that in terms of transitioning them out of the country.
Do you think that they just, like, open up season three and they're like, what, Henry Big Who? We don't even know about him. We're just world-traveling littles.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine. They're like, we've decided never to... Oh, my God. Henry has to be there. You're right. Maybe Henry gets homeschooled all around the world.
No, I don't think so. I think that he just disappears. But I couldn't find any of those episodes on YouTube, so I didn't watch them. I don't know
That's
if he
shattering.
Appears. Yeah.
He's her only friend.
Well, they have a whole community of people. Like, I assume that Henry... Toy Story style just like turned 14 and was like, I don't want to play with you anymore, and went to high school, you know.
you know when you grow up and you stop interacting with the children who live in your walls. Yeah. We all go through it.
Oh my god. So that's The Littles. It's available on YouTube. I highly recommend this. It's a good ass time.
Please have the most fun. It'll be so nice.
Cass, thank you so much for joining me this week. Where can people find you online?
Thank you so much for having me. I am on a podcast called D&D is for Nerds, where we play Dungeons & Dragons. I'm also on Shut Up A Second and Why Am I Sad? And they're all a part of the Sans Pants Radio Network, just like this one.
Yeah, and depending on when this episode comes out, I was on an episode or two of Shut Up A Second recently, and that'll be coming out soon or already out. So go check that out. We talk about some crazy shit. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
You're too young to vote, kids, but you're old enough to make a difference. Tell your parents to register.
And vote!